Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, The Gathering, Ireland, 2013, the rip-roaring success of The Gathering, with most of the visitors from North America heading over to Ireland, and many of them to the West. And there's a good reason, indeed, for those who are heading west the road to get to Foxford in County Mayo. And so we take our microphones over to Oliver Murphy, who is an historian and public relations officer for the Admiral William Brown Society. Hello, Foxford, and hello, Oliver Murphy. How are you?
Good morning, Adrian, and greetings from Bealasa, Foxford, County Mayo, here in the west of Ireland. It's a lovely day here again, so I'm delighted to be able to get this opportunity to talk to you on your show.
I hear that you're roasting altogether.
But we've had wonderful temperatures. I will probably have to go use the word extreme in the sense because we are not accustomed to such high temperatures here. So it's kind of caught us by surprise. But it is wonderful. It is wonderful weather. It's given us all, and of course, in a rural setting, it's given a great chance to the farming community to actually get the hay and silage, and
absolutely,
of course, the turf and the bogs that are being allowed cut. but yeah, it is, and of course, those the children that are off school now are flocking to the beaches with their parents, and it is actually beautiful, and it's a very, very welcome.
Well, I tell you, I hope you can hold on to it for another couple of weeks, because we are heading over bag and baggage with our, and we'll be doing our programs from Ireland during the month of August. And of course, we're going to get down to the West, and indeed, as a neighboring parishioner, from Attie Mass originally, Foxford was only up the road, and indeed we learned in school with great pride about the father of the Argentine Navy, Foxford born Admiral Brown. And you're heading the Admiral Brown Society. Tell us a little bit about the society itself first.
Yeah, I suppose there was in Foxford in 1957, because that was the centenary of Admiral Brown's death. Embassy, Argentine embassy in Dublin, felt, and the military, especially the government in Argentina, felt that he should be remembered, Admiral Brown should be remembered. So they donated a bust of Admiral Brown from the people of Argentina to the people of Foxford, and so to mark that centenary. And they erected that bust of Admiral Brown on Chapel Road. Uh-huh. They also, they had been, the clergy and the parish here had, prior to that, had also built a hall on Chapel on the same street. And funds were, there was fundraising efforts made for that, both in Argentina and then in North America as well. And immigrants, actually, the money, it was actually all immigrant money that built that hall. That too was actually named after Admiral William Brown. And plaques then were put on the wall to in that year to commemorate his centenary. From that, in later years, the Argentine Navy would appear on the 3rd of March, which is Admiral Brown's death, the anniversary of his death. And they would lay wreaths, and then they would, you know, it was a very kind of a brief affair. The people of Oxford really didn't get to intermingle or to communicate too much with them. I suppose, in a sense, that they were there. They were like, you know, it was like a military thing, in more than actually a social event. Mm. But when in the 1980s, the embassy an Argentine embassy in Dublin contacted the local parish priest to say that they would actually, the Navy were coming to do a commemoration on the 3rd of March, but like that they would like to something organise. So the parish priest got in touch with our latest friend and former president of the Albert Brown Society, J. Joe O'Hara, to see what he could organise a series of events to entertain the Navy, and that they would stay with us a bit longer than the, you know, the usual hour. And they were looking at trying to focus on a kind of a social element to it. So JJ did organise, he organised a number of events, the football matches, a disco in the town for the young sailors. So the coach came into town, and strangely enough, it got boxed in. And when it came to time to leave at 6 o'clock, they found that they were tightly boxed in, and that the owners of the vehicles that surrounded their coach couldn't be found. So they had to wait on longer, and then they got a great opportunity. And the late JJ said, actually, that was the day the Albert Brown Society was reformed. And he took it from there, visiting the Argentina about nearly, I think, 20 times.
Well,
highlighting Brown and Foxworth and the connections with Ireland at every opportunity.
Well, excusing the pun, but that was a captive audience, if you figure that. There was no way out of Foxford because of that. Listen, first of all, when and where was Admiral Brown born, bred, and buttered?
It said that that his parents may have one time lived in Coolagreen, which is just outside. You might know Daydream yourself.
Indeed, I do.
It's just outside. It's just outside Foxford, in the townland of Coolaga. And it's reputed that at some point they came in, possibly maybe because there was a linen industry, and people did maybe would have converged or moved into town for whatever reason. It stated that that the family once lived along I got a very rare and quick opportunity to have a look at a 17th century map of Foxford. And our latest headmaster in National School of St. Patrick's, Mr. Peter Tolan, always maintained to us, and he loved his local history too. And I suppose maybe I often thought over the years, is that where I got my my interest? Possibly was. But he always maintained that outside of the walls of the boundary walls of the school on Chapel Road, that's where the Brown family lived. And when I got this opportunity to see this map, lo and behold, there was a road running just outside the walls that linked the present-day Chapel Road with the present-day Providence Road. And it said, so it's felt locally, and speaking to a number of people that would be kind of interested in local history, Vivian Sheridan and Sean Lav and people like that, that it's felt locally that their house was along this road that's now non-existent.
Foxford,
and,
sorry. Foxford, indeed known very much and associated with the famous Foxford Woolen Mills, which was actually run by the Good Sisters for many, many decades. And in fact, it is still a great attraction. And speaking of tours and coaches and visitors to Foxford, it is probably one of the most attractive places, because the woolen mills are still there, and you can get a tour and see how the very famous Foxford rugs and Foxford blankets, where and how they were made. And if I don't put a check on myself, we could get buried in that too. Come back to Admiral Brown. He left, his parents left, and how did they wind up in Argentina?
That's correct, Adrian, they did. They emigrated, and they emigrated to North America, namely Philadelphia. The story goes that he left with his members of his family, and that the relatives that they were actually going to stay with in Philadelphia, they discovered on arrival or shortly after that he came down with with fever, and that it was actually fatal, and he died as a result. And that Admiral Brown's own father contracted the same fever. And,
the yellow fever,
And lost his life. It said then that he was taken on as a cabin boy, and that he eventually then, it was actually the fledgling merchant navy, and then at some point was either pressed into the British Navy, and ended up in the Napoleonic Wars, being kidnapped or being taken prisoner by the French, and placed in a military prison in France. Escaped from that one and was recaptured and put to a high security maximum prison in Verdun, again in France. They couldn't contain him there either for too long. And with the help of an Englishman, they escaped and got into Germany, where this English gentleman knew somebody there, I think, and which helped them get back to Britain. He got involved, he became very friendly with the Chitty family, and actually married Elizabeth Chitty, their daughter. And then after some while, he pondered, should he establish trading with Argentina and South America? Mm-hmm. So he bought a ship and started this career. I think his ship was actually, he ran into difficulty with the Spanish. And then in around 1812, the province there of Buenos Aires, there was a lot of talk of nationalism, to overthrow the Spanish regime there in the empire. And he got involved in that, and was asked then, and was picked by the governor there to establish a fledgling navy, which he did. His first engagement was at the very strategic island of Martin Garcia on the Parana. It was very strategic in the sense that it controlled shipping in both directions, and there was a heavy fortress there of cannon, which secured that area for them. He approached that with his fledgling navy. Of course, he was with their reach and their massive guns. His ship was pounded and suffered, and there was numerous casualties between his the seamen, and it looked on the face of it as if this was going to be a disaster. So he waited till nightfall. A number of his under his command were Irish officers, and there was also a number of gauchos who actually were better suited to be on land. So that's actually what he'd done. He let down the boats, and they approached the island under the cover of darkness. They took them by surprise, so they were actually had made great strides in actually capturing it. But at the last minute, sentries spotted them, the alarm was raised, and they were repelled. It was coming near St. Patrick's Day, and so he asked his band, would they play St. Patrick's Day in the morning? He'd done this to kind of raise morale, and as I said, there was a number of Irish officers and also seamen as well. It did have that effect. Morale, they decided that they would have another attempt, and on this second attempt, they actually took possession of the island and overpowered them. The Spanish left Paratus rather quickly for the port of Montevideo, and Brown's navy in hot pursuit. But that was the start, and then he entered battles, a courageous man. He entered battles where he was vastly outnumbered, and with his courageousness, his perseverance, he survived. It was victory after victory followed, so he was actually given the frigate the Black Frigate, as called it, as a gift by the Argentine government. And later on, he also, the Portuguese Empire that actually was ruling at the time Brazil, they again, I think it was 33 ships to Brown's 11, approached and blocked the harbour of Buenos Aires. Again, he went out with a small fledgling 12 ships and outmaneuvered. He was a great tactician. In history, if we were to look at naval heroes and people that were great tacticians, we'd probably, the Lord Nelson from the British Navy would probably enter our heads. But Brown was equally a wonderful tactician and had an amazing skill in dealing with people. He was also, at the time, and I suppose it was kind of unheard of, that he was in the treatment of prisoners. He was a very humanitarian approach. The biggest statue, I think, in Argentina is in Mendoza. And there he's portrayed or depicted holding over, in one hand over his head, a lighted torch. And the significance of that statue is that at one time he was actually, the Spanish had overcome one of his ships in battle. And they went through, they treated the crew very badly, killing them on deck, even after taking them prisoners. Brown took a torch and went down to the gunpowder room and announced to the Spanish officers in charge that we'll all go if the prisoners are not treated properly. And he was sitting in the with a lighted torch in the gun room and in the gunpowder room. And they relented and they started treating the prisoners, And the thing about Brown, too, strikes me is his immense sense of honour, his sense of justice, but honour as well. I mean, in that sense, I mean that his former people that he fought against or commanders and officers of different navies and different countries, representing different countries that he fought against, became his close friends after each encounter. So in a sense, he didn't hold any sort of grudges. He didn't seem to have that, that the one nationality he was able to transcend all that and become friendly with the people actually that he had fought for. There was, too, a famous battle that was fought against Uruguay, in which that naval force was led by the famous Garibaldi, who later went on to liberate Italy, unite Italy first of all, and then liberate the country, and become he's regarded as one of the heroes of Italy. An opportunity arose the gunners informed Admiral Brown that there was an opportunity now that they could have actually killed Garibaldi. They had him in the gun sights, and Admiral Brown's response was, no, let that gringo go, which is refers to in English as the foreigner. Let that foreigner go. He is one brave man. And by doing that, actually enabled Garibaldi in later life to become a hero in a different country altogether, for different reasons. So this is the type of man he was. It's amazing, too, that after all those battles he was engaged in that he returned to his native town of Oxford in the 1847, the height of the famine. It said he was shocked and saddened by what he witnessed here, both in Ireland and in County Mayo and Oxford in particular. It said also from local folklore and local history that on Main Street that he met a brother of his and family. And that they spent a long time talking together. Before he left, he donated large, substantial funds that went towards famine relief. 10 years later, in his own bed, and after receiving the last rites of the Catholic Church by his lifelong friend, another great man that deserves, I think, a book too to be written about, or certainly his life should be documented, Father Anthony Fahey, a Dominican priest from Loughrea, County Galway, who also done great things for the Irish immigrants coming. coming over, securing land for them. He even set up a kind of, I suppose what you call now, a credit union that enabled them to purchase land. And at every opportunity, you know, he highlighted them. I remember a very funny story I heard there a number of years ago about Father Fahy. It said that he came back to a little village called Kilmedina, which is just outside Loughrea, because he had too many gentlemen set up in ranches on the pampas, and he was hoping that a few ladies from Kilmedina may like to come out to Argentina and meet some of these gentlemen with a view of you know, a possible marriage and settling down. Mm-hmm. He succeeded apparently in getting some of these ladies to travel out, and they did meet some of these gentlemen, and you know, some of these meetings were successful, and they did get married. So mm-hmm. He did get the rights of the last church from him, and died in his own bed peacefully at aged 80 years. Okay. His own life, too, there was tragedies in his own life on a personal level. His son died before, I think a few years before he himself died. And it was during one of the heights of the battles with Spain, there was a young officer that served underneath him, Captain Drummond. Captain Drummond had served in the Argentine Navy under Admiral Brown, but he was engaged to Admiral Brown's daughter Eliza, and I think they were to be married in the very near future. He was killed, and he died in Admiral Brown's arms. He was killed during the battle, and Eliza, who used to tend to her beautiful garden, and she had a wonderful garden of flowers and color, and suddenly she neglected the garden. The light in her eyes went dim, and one day she put on her wedding dress, and she was found in the local canal. The sadness just had overcome her, and so that was another, you know, a tragic event on his own life on a personal level. An amazing man, mm-hmm. you know, by all accounts. I think possibly too, in the time, you know, born in 1777 in Foxford, probably would have, you know, would have formed the man. Certainly, he displayed a very strong, as I mentioned before, a sense of justice. You know, how he treated people, and also how he supported. It's not to be forgotten either that he supported Ireland, like even throughout, even though he was so far away from us. He donated $800 to Daniel O'Connor's, you know, Emancipation Fund, stating at the time in the letter to three businessmen through which he funneled the money for Daniel O'Connor, stating at the time that he wished it was more. And in a letter to the three businessmen, saying that that Ireland, he would like to see Ireland take its place, as they say, as the saying goes, among the nations of the earth, and play an equal role. And that would, he'd like to see, you know, their freedom and them, like, you know, a sense of self-determination. Far-reaching thoughts, you know, from a time even before we had our own freedom and how the country developed after. So an amazing man in that sense. Never forgot his homeland, you know, either. I always marvel too at the ease he could leave the battles, and he would retire after from the Navy to settle down and tend his own garden, and you know, and come back to nature, and the way he was able to do that. The other thing I always marveled at also is that with any revolution in the country, that he was able to steer clear of the political situation. And he would have been asked, his views would have been sought as to which particular, you know, had he any particular affiliations, and, you know, and he always charted a neutral stance in that. He never either got involved himself on one side or another, and he would just have, he actually pursued his career in a kind of a neutral political sense. I suppose it's And that's amazing too, you know, and it kind of shows the caliber of the man as well, in that sense, you know.
My guest friend is Oliver Murphy, who is an historian, and as you can tell, he knows his Foxford and definitely the story of Admiral William Brown. The Society's website, you know, Oliver, I have to say I'd love to ask you another question, but japers, we'd be still at it 2 hours from now. Give me the website for the Admiral Brown Society and for those who want to know anything you might have left out there about Admiral Brown.
Absolutely, Adrian. Yeah, with the help of Timesnap Productions and the Mayo Association in Galway, we produced recently a documentary entitled JJ and the Admiral. It charts the story of Admiral Brown, but it also incorporates the story of JJ O'Hara and how he championed his Admiral Brown's life.
That's
available on the website there. But we also are using Admiral Brown Society on Facebook. We're putting a lot of stuff up there, especially what's now coming into the modern times, how we celebrate Admiral Brown here and so forth, and a lot of links onto that. So if your reader or your listeners would like to actually come in and say hello to us on that, we'd be most welcome. Also, before I leave you, Adrian, if your listeners or any of their relatives are in the Fox or the Mayo area during the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of August, quite welcome to come along. And that first lecture on the Friday night in the Mayfly Hotel at 8 o'clock, Main Street, Foxford, is the J.J. O'Hara Memorial Lecture. And it's been delivered by Dr. Barnwell. He's a NUI senior lecturer in Maynooth. And it's entitled Irish Immigration to Argentina and Other Latin American Countries. And it'll start off the weekend for us, the gathering. We have a number of events. Vivian, the local historian there based in Geneva, has been researching Foxford Iron Masters. That's the family that established iron to the mills going back into the 17th century, and he's delivering his lecture in the Church of Ireland Sunday night, the 4th at 7 p.m., and all are welcome.
Now, I want to give a brief rundown. That's going to be a huge weekend, not only in Foxford, County Mayo, but I might mention that the Bunny Finglas Sports in Attymass taking place as well in Bunnyconlon. The horse show is taking place. That whole area, well worth a visit. And again, cycle tours of Ireland, indeed, starting off on the Saturday afternoon. And Shannos Dancing Workshop in the Brown Memorial Hall on Chapel Road. And again, the Admiral Show, all taking place in Foxford. We're talking about Friday the 2nd of August and running right through the weekend. Now,
and just one more thing, Adrian, as well. I neglected to mention. There's been a show. It's based on the lines of Riverdance. It's entitled The Admiral. It was actually created by a local. He's a student in Limerick, Eamon Welsh here in Foxford, and Liam Scanlon. The show made its debut in the Briefy House Hotel in July, and we're hoping to bring it to Foxford on the Saturday evening at around 8:30 in the Admiral Brown Memorial Hall on Chapel Road in Foxford. It's an amazing show. It's a fluid narrative of the history of Admiral Brown, and tinged in with that is Irish traditional dancing and music with a very strong Latino influence as well. And where it's done extremely well in its opening in July in Briefy House. And I know that it's going to get a huge reception in Brahm's hometown.
Oliver, you're a fountain of information, and we look forward to seeing you in Foxford. By the way, Foxford is the birthplace of one of the greatest composers, arrangers, musicians, band leaders, Brendan Ward, and all of this taking place. Again, as part of the Gathering Ireland 2013, and again, for Facebook, for on the internet, you can link up with admiralbrown.com. Our guest, Oliver Murphy, public relations officer and historian for the Admiral William Brown Society in Foxford, County Mayo, in Ireland. Thank you, Oliver. Thanks, and we'll be seeing you there.
And thank you, Adrian, and thanks very much, Adrian, for giving me that opportunity to actually tell your listeners. And may I also take this opportunity to wish all your listeners a lovely weekend. As I said, if you're in Mayo or Foxford or Bunnycommon or any of the places Adrian also has mentioned, come and join us, as they say, and you can all be part of it.
Absolutely, and we will too. Okay, thanks, Oliver Murphy.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you, God bless.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.